everybody here is right with Jesus. I don't know everybody here.
Now, before you're seated tonight, why don't you turn to like five people? You got to make it five people, all right? This is the social experience tonight. We can't just sit down and we got to mingle a little bit.
You know what? I wanted to start off tonight by giving a few shout outs up here because we have some special people. Andrew is up on the electric guitar tonight. It's been too long, bro. Where have you been? Now, I just got to say this. Andrew, he can do sound pretty well, but nothing like he could do that guitar. And so I'm so glad you came out and played tonight. We got to have you out here more often, my brother. We love you. We got Andrew back here on the drums. Backstreet's back. No, I'm just kidding. And we got Angel Boy over here on the bass, tearing up. And I love all these guys. It's like they're back from the dead. I don't know where you guys have been. Yeah, got the old band together. Boy, you're ordinary. So, no, I'm just kidding, man. No, you're special. Hey, you guys don't know this, but Boy is 10 years old and he plays the piano like. No, how old are you? 15? 16? 15 years old. And he plays the piano like some people have been playing all their lives. So we appreciate all these guys. Also, I want to shout out my friends up here on the front row. Adam Mace is with us tonight all the way from Rancho Cucamonga and Abundant Living Family Church. We are definitely family with their ministry. And he's just doing awesome work. And the young adults, man, I got to get you out here to preach. Pastor Luke's been bugging me. But we only have service once a week. We have so many talented preachers running around here. Like, I barely get to preach like once a month. I'm like, oh, no, I'm just kidding. No, actually, I enjoy every one of them. So we got to get you out here. And then we got Magician Bob. Actually, it's Jeremiah. You guys know him because he's been out here before as well. And he's in ministry out there too, right? Am I right? And, dude, I don't know if I told you this personally, but last time you were here, last time I remember you being here, this last summer, we were doing that show out there, and he had like this, I don't even know how to describe it, I'm still tripping on the trick, because he had this like orange inside of a paper bag, and it was like sealed, and he had like something written inside the peel, and then like the person's name inside a sealed envelope, and it was just like crazy, and I was like, I have no idea what's going on right now, but I rebuke you, devil, because I couldn't. No, I'm just kidding. No, it was awesome. It was awesome. It was awesome. So I want to give a shout out to them. And yeah. Hey, welcome to the social experience. Amen. You guys excited to be in shift today? And what I want to do is I kind of want to subtitle this message tonight with this Fellowship of the Koinonia. Now, I'm a Lord of the Rings fan. I'm not too crazy or anything like that. But anybody out there see Fellowship of the Ring? See? Oh, wow. I like that. So I decided to call this Fellowship of the Koinonia, and I'll explain what that is in just a couple moments here. But let me first start by giving you guys just real briefly a little history on this series. So typically in February, what we've done is February has been our love month, all right? This is the month where we talk about romance, and we talk about dating, we talk about marriage, we talk about sex, and we talk about all these things, right? And so that was kind of like our thing that we would do traditionally. And sure enough, actually, I spoke with a young adult earlier, and I was telling him, "Hey, man, you actually kind of influenced this series because you were one of the ones who criticized." No, that's not true. No, but what they were saying was, you know, as single people, they actually were like, you know what, I think I'm just going to avoid shift in February because it's like single awareness to me. It's like single awareness month, and we go through all this kind of stuff. I don't got no love in my life, but what it did is it caused us to reconsider our approach
and some good things came out of that. And you know what? We decided that we wanted to strive to be more pluralistic in that. The Bible talks about a myriad of relationships. Amen. Relationships of all different kinds, the Bible talks about. And as you and I get a hold of what the Word of God has to say about the different kinds of relationships that we have, whether friendships, whether families, whether it's a relationship with your boss, or if you are the boss and you've got employees who are just acting a fool, all right, the Bible has something to say about all these different kinds of relationships. So for this series, I don't want anybody walking out here thinking that we're going to focus on one specific aspect or anything like that. We just want to talk about relationships. And we believe that relationships are a blessing from God. And if you'll do them right, come on, somebody, you're going to be blessed in your life, as opposed to when we do them wrong, and I'm getting ahead of myself, we find ourselves really with a lot of heartache and a lot of pain. Now look, let me say this. Relationships are of, you might say, some of the most extreme importance when it comes to our life. And actually, depending upon the relationships that you choose to form, that you choose to create, and then not only that, but kind of like what I said a moment ago, and how you choose to do them, they can either make or break you in life. Dang, let me repeat that again, because I think that's worth repeating. And in fact, if you're taking notes, that might be something to jot down. But you know what? Depending on the relationships that you choose to form and you choose to have and you choose to engage in, and then how you do them, they can make and or break your life. And so we got to find out, man, how do I do this relationship thing? How do I do this social thing? How do I experience God's best for my life? Well, first of all, I think that maybe this is a good point to make right here, is that did you know that God expects you to be wise in the kind of relationships that you choose to have with other people? I think sometimes because we're Christian, you know, I'm a Christian and I'm supposed to love, and we're going to talk about love in just a moment, but I'm supposed to love. I'm supposed to be like the Good Samaritan. I'm not supposed to be biased in any way. I'm not supposed to be critical in any way. I'm not supposed to be prejudiced or racist or divide by any of the schisms that are out there. And so we just open up the door to our hearts to anybody. But the truth of the matter is that God wants us to be wise in the relationships that we choose. And there are a number of relationships in the Word of God that God says, I want you to avoid these. I want you to you need to steer clear of this kind of person. And you need to steer clear of this kind of gathering. And you need to watch out and don't get involved and be wise in the kind of relationships that you choose. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 33 in the NIV, it says, don't be misled. It says, bad company corrupts good character. Wow. Don't be misled. Don't be tricked. One version says, don't be deceived. It says, bad company corrupts good character. Now, obviously, God wants you to get out there and God wants you to be a light, right? God wants you to be the salt of the earth, and God wants you to go into places, and God wants you to, if I could steal some words from Acts, turn the world upside down for Jesus Christ. Come on, does anybody out there believe that you got the power of the Holy Spirit to go out there and be a witness and see people saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, healed, come on, raised from the dead? I'm still waiting for some shifters to raise some people from the dead, because that's what Jesus said we could do. Okay, but that does not negate the fact that we need to be wise, and we don't just open up our hearts and let anybody out there exercise influence in our lives. And I think it's important for us to evaluate some of the things that we get involved with, because look, if I'm trying to reach out to somebody that does not know Christ, and they are having more of an influence on my life than I'm having on theirs, it's time for me to reconsider what's going on. Right? So relationships are important, and who you choose is very important to be a part of your life, to be in your inner circle, if you will. You know, there's very few relationships in life that you can't choose. You can't choose who your parents are, right? Hopefully you don't want to choose differently. You can't choose who some of your family are. Now I would say, even though they may be family, you can still choose how much influence they're going to have in your life, right? And sometimes just because they're family doesn't mean they're godly, you know? And so, you know, let's be wise. God wants you to choose. God wants you to be picky. God wants you to be choosy when it comes to these things. And then not only choose wisely, but once you've identified you know, a godly relationship, a relationship where, as the Bible says, iron is sharpening iron, and you together are building one another up, and you together are encouraging one another to move forward in the things of God, then the Bible says, now you got to do this good relationship the right way. Because if you don't, you could lose it. And I think sometimes we forget. I'm guilty of it. I'll be the first one to raise my hand and say, man, God, I've been guilty of this. And that is taking for granted the people that are in my life and treating them any old kind of way because I feel angry right now. So I'm just going to say what I want to say because I'm angry. Right? And we just kind of go through life and we don't think about how we're engaging in our relationships. And then before we know it, we turn around and we realize we've burned all these bridges. Hello, somebody. You can lose the relationships that you have in your life that God has given you if you don't do them the right way. If you don't do them the way that God would have us to do them. I want to point this out to you in Acts chapter 15, verse number 39, because we find this great man of God. And maybe today you're in here and you say, you know what, Pastor Joe, I've made that mistake. I've lost some friends. I've said some things. I've hurt some people. I've stuck my foot in my mouth. Well, hey, we've all been there. And you know what's so comforting is we find this great man of God, Paul the Apostle, and he finds himself in the same position. And most theologians, pastors, ministers out there would hail Paul as one of the greats, if not the great, all right? I would say Paul the Apostle is the great man in the New Testament, Moses probably being the great man of the Old Testament. That's just my own personal view of the Bible. And the Bible says here in Acts chapter 15, verse number 39, it says, then the contention became so sharp. Now he was in ministry with this other man by the name of Barnabas. And so it was Paul and Barnabas, and they were carrying out the work of God. And all of a sudden, Paul and Barnabas, and you can read about the story later, but they get into this argument about another dude by the name of Mark. And they're going back and forth. And the Bible says here, it says, then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. Notice what happened. Notice the outcome of contention. They separated. They parted. Deuces! They were out. They were like, actually, if you look into it further, you study, this word contention really has in it this idea of wrestling. It's almost as though Barnabas and Paul were looking at each other and they were ready to get physical. Do I need up in each other's face? You know how the guys do? I just spent a whole soccer game yesterday trying to separate my team from fighting. Literally the whole game. I quit. Anyways. Bitter. Anyways. They separated. And then it says, and so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. My goodness, how we do relationships matter. We can lose the relationships that God has for us. Not only are relationships of extreme importance, but the Bible says that we should not go without them. I got a word for everybody in here who's like, I'm going to do this on my own. I got this. I don't need nobody. Right? You and I need relationships. In Genesis chapter 2, verse number 18, if you want to turn there real quick, I know I've been quoting a lot and throwing it up there, and sometimes I think when we do that so quickly, maybe the word of God goes in one ear and out the other, it goes over our heads. But so let me try to discipline myself a little bit more here and have you turn there. But in Genesis chapter 2, verse number 18, as you're turning there, of course, it's a story of the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he made this man by the name of Adam, and he gave Adam a job. And Adam's working the garden, and Adam's naming the animals, and God is looking at everything. He's like, man, I tore it up. This place is amazing, right? And the Bible says, and everything that God created, he said that it was good. But all of a sudden, he finds one thing that's not. Can you imagine God created something that wasn't good? Anyways, he created something that wasn't good. I guess you could say it that way. And he recognizes it, and he says, you know what, I need to do something about this. In Genesis chapter 2, verse number 18, it says, the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. I think a lot of times we read this verse and we think of it in context of marriage. Adam got a wife. God started a family. Absolutely, that's 100% correct. 100. But I think sometimes we miss the underlying principle, and that is, it's not good for people to be alone. And today maybe you're single and maybe you're like, Pastor Joe, I don't have nothing to do with marriage for a long time. I still got to do my degree. I still got to buy my car. I still got to have my house. I still got to have my, I got to get my Jordans one day. And then I'll think about getting married, right? But no matter where you are, single or married, the truth is that it's not good that humanity does life alone. And when we try to engage in life alone, man, we really find ourselves going without the things that God has placed in other people that would benefit our lives, as well as everybody else misses out on the gifts and the talents that God has put in your own life to bless other people with. Look, God has not given any one person all the talents, all the ability, all the knowledge. Look, you need people. I need people. That's just the honest truth. Hey, listen, can I tell you real quick how to become a weirdo in life? Isolate yourself. Try to do it by yourself. It's one of the ways that humanity kind of drifts off and gets off. You know, how many of you have ever expressed something that was kind of weird and your friends were like, they gave you the look, you're like, oh, that was weird. If you didn't have your friends in your life to call you out, man, you'd be still being weird. Every one of us has our brand of weird. Come on, let's just be honest, all right? And we need people to look into our lives because they have a different perspective than you. I mean, if you look at the way that God created you, I can't see everything on my back. Can you? When you're married, you have the privilege of having your wife take a look. Like, is that supposed to be there? What is that? For those of you who are not married, I don't know how you deal with that. I forgot, but no. But that tells me this, that, you know what, there's areas of our lives that we can't see. And it's when people have come together and have engaged together that they're able to help one another and point to those different things, keep one another accountable. Do you believe in being accountable tonight? I know that I do. It was some good friends of mine who came into my life who were like, hey, I noticed that you did this. That's not cool. And I was like, man, you know what, you're right. And as a result, I was able to move further into what God has for me. And so, how has God decided to deal with this, you know, man being alone thing? If a soulmate is not it for me right now, how can I not do a life alone? Well, as you look at the New Testament, you'll find this thing called koinonia, you know, the fellowship of the coin, the koinonia, and that's the Greek word that is translated in English. Fellowship. Does anybody here believe in doing some Greek and some Hebrew? That should be every hand in the house today. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Somebody once said, only the front row cares about the Greek. I think the whole church ought to care about the Greek and the Hebrew and be doing some studying in their word and find out what God has to say. Come on. So can you all help me today? Koinonia. Say it to your neighbors. Say koinonia. I'm teaching y'all Greek today. Koinonia. Koinonia, it's the word fellowship. Koinonia is defined this way: fellowship, association, community, communion, or closeness. It means joint participation. It means to share. Share that which one has in anything. And so this thing called koinonia, this thing of fellowship, is absolutely a gift from God. And how you do this thing called fellowship, if you'll do it the right way, as we said already, you'll find yourself blessed by heaven, all right? And so since God realized it wasn't good that men do life alone, he gave us this thing called fellowship. And so I want to talk to you tonight real quick. I just got a few points. We're going to go through them real quick tonight because I got my timer up there. I only got 15 minutes left. I'm going to even try to beat that, all right? All right, I'm going to try to beat that today. But 4 points real quick you can jot down that have to do with fellowship, all right? And I'm going to ask them in question form. Is that cool? I know it's a little bit different. I like questions. They help the elevator go all the way to the top. You know what I'm saying? And then you can write down an answer. So the first point is this: who is this fellowship between? God gave us fellowship. With who? 1 John chapter 1, verse number 3, one of my favorite passages in the Bible, says, that which we have seen. Here the Apostle John comes and he's beginning to declare some things to the reader. And he says, I've seen some things and I've heard some things. And those things that I have seen and those things that I have heard and those things that even my hands have handled, that's what I'm declaring to you so that you may have fellowship with me and truly, or with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Simply put, in God, in Christ Jesus, has given us fellowship first with himself and then with one another. Who do you have fellowship with today? You have fellowship, you have the opportunity to engage in fellowship with God and with others. And it's a blessing. Is anybody thankful here that you have some koinonia with God? That you have the ability to fellowship with him? That you can talk to him and he will actually talk back? That you can walk with him? That you can engage with him? This says here, the definition one more time, another one is association. Is anybody here thankful today that you are associated with God the Father, with Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost? You know, there's this saying, guilty by association, but I'm so glad I'm associated with God because you know what? I am now righteous by association. I am now innocent by association. I am now born again by association, filled with the Holy Ghost by association. I got a hope and I got a future because of my association, because I'm connected. What else is there? We have community. We have communion, this closeness. I love so much how they named Jesus as he was being born. His name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us, our very present help in time of need. I forgot where I read it. It was somewhere in the Bible. It talked about how God stands at my right hand and he will not leave me. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Come on, somebody. It don't matter who's in the White House. All that matters is that God is with you through the Obamas and the Trumps and whoever else may come after that. To the end of the age, should the world come crashing down, God is there with you, holding everything together. What else do we have? Joint participation. I'm so glad that God is being a participant in my life. In Philippians chapter 1, it says that the God who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. God didn't start something in you to just leave you hanging now. God didn't start something in you to let the devil take you over and wipe you out now. Come on, somebody. Maybe you're here today and you feel like your back's against the wall and everything's about to fall apart. But listen, if you know that God started something in you, even if it was a long time ago, he'll be faithful to complete it and to bring you into victory and to bring you into what God has for you. Oh, what a hope we have in Jesus. I got to contain myself because I come from Raymond. We start running around the building and stuff. We get so excited. One day, I'm believing you're going to run too. It's it says it means that we share that which one has in anything. I'm so thankful that God has shared the kingdom of God with me and everything that comes along with it. God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, the Bible says. My goodness. What a wonder it is to be able to share fellowship with God. And then with one another. Are you thankful today that you have fellowship with other people? That you're able to associate with other people? You're able to be a part of something bigger than yourself. Do something with other people. You know, as you look throughout the Word of God and you look at relationships, you'll find that as people gathered together, they were able to accomplish what it was that they wanted to accomplish at, like, you know, exponentially the level that they originally were going to be able to do it. And it's just so cool and so awesome to be able to join together. The Bible says how good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. For there God commands the blessing, even life everlasting. It's found in fellowship. It's found when we get together and we make this thing work. I once read a family member's, I think it was their Facebook or maybe it was Zanga, so it was so long ago, I don't remember. Single and ready to mingle. I think we should have that kind of an attitude. You understand what I'm saying? When it comes to the family of God. All right? So we have fellowship with God. We have fellowship with others. All right? That's who the fellowship is between. Number two, what does fellowship look like? What does fellowship look like? You know, once you look at this word fellowship and you realize that you have fellowship with other people, then that makes you jump to the thought, well, what does the Bible have to say about this phrase, one another? You really ought to do a little study. Just look, this is so easy today. You don't have to pop out no. I remember when I was a kid growing up, because I grew up in church. My parents had this, it was called a concordance. You guys know what a concordance, a Bible concordance is? Y'all know what? It was like this thick and like this big. And you just felt really smart putting it down on your desk. Boom! But, now you could just pop online and just type something into blueletterbible.com. It'll pull you up all the different times in the Bible that phrase or that word or whatever is there. It's really become a whole lot more easy. But as you look at this phrase, one another, because that's who we have fellowship with, you'll begin to find what fellowship looks like. Here's what fellowship looks like if you want to know how to do fellowship with one another. It looks like kindness. It looks like affection. It looks like showing honor. It looks like, I like this one, giving preference, the Bible says, one to another. That's Romans 12:10. The Bible says, hey, this is how you do one another. You serve one another. That's Galatians 5:13. Here's how you do fellowship. Here's how you do koinonia. You forgive one another. Ephesians 4:32. Here's how you do it. You submit to one another. This is what it looks like. Ephesians 5:21. Here's what it looks like. Comfort one another. First Thessalonians 4:18. How about this one? Edify one another. In other words, build each other up, repair each other, help one another grow, encourage one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Has anybody else out there needed some encouragement in life, some building up, some repair in their life? Maybe the healing that God wants to come into your life is going to come through the body of Christ. After all, we are his hands. We are his feet. And maybe today there's somebody else that's hurting that God has called you to reach out to and build up and repair. And as the body joins together and takes care of itself, we grow into the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. How about this? It says daily exhorting one another so we don't drift into sin. Hebrews 3:13. We kind of already said this, but you and I need people to come along and be like, hey, you're tripping, bro. It says, stir one another up. Hebrews 10:24. That's what it looks like. How does it work? Number three, how does it work? It works by love. You say, Pastor Joe, you ran through like 20 things. I couldn't even write them all down fast enough. I don't know how to do this thing. Here's what Jesus says. If you'll fulfill this law that I'm giving you, this commandment of love, you will end up doing all the things that we talked about. Because if you really love somebody, then you'll submit yourself to them. If you really love somebody, then you'll honor them. If you really love somebody like God tells you to love, which is the way that he loves, then you won't have a problem necessarily forgiving them. Oh, it may hurt and it may be difficult and there may be a process, but in your heart of hearts, you're there and you're ready and you're willing and you're empowered by the Holy Spirit to forgive because you love. This is how it works. It works by love. John chapter 13, verse number 34, Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Hey guys, this is not a suggestion. This is not a good idea. This is not something that we decide we want to do if we feel like it or if we think it fits the situation. This is a commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but when I gave my heart, my life to Jesus, what I was saying is, God, I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be master. I want you to lead me. I want you to guide me. I want to do life your way. And so he says, all right, love one another. It's a commandment. How seriously do you take the commandments of Jesus? You need to take them serious. They're going to help your relationships flourish. And I like how he goes on. He says, new commandment I give to you, you love one another. Watch this. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. So you can't just love any old kind of way. Well, this is how we do it from where I come from. Anybody out there ever been told that you were loved by somebody And then what they did to you was like, that wasn't love at all. If that's your idea of love, oh my God. Right? We can't just love any old kind of way. He says, here's how I want you to love. I want you to love as I have loved. That tells me this then, I have to become a student of Jesus. In order for me to love like he loves, I got to know how he loves first. And for me to figure out how he loves, I got to take a look at his life. And I have to take a look at his words. And then I have to, as the Bible says, imitate God as dear children. So this is how fellowship works when we walk in love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 2 and 3 says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mystery and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, I could do all these cool things, I know all these cool things. Actually, I cut out a lot of verses, a whole lot of other verses there. If I give all the things I have away to the poor, if I have all these good works, if I give my body to be burned, and it goes on and says, but if I have not love, I'm nothing. And some of us, maybe you're here today and you're trying to do a lot of cool things, and I'm not saying they're not cool things, but maybe you're not getting the results that you want because you're not doing it with love. How receptive would you be to me if I treated all y'all like trash? Would you even come to Shift? Dang, no pressure. No, because the degree that I walk in love or that we walk in love with one another opens up our ability to really minister the way that God wants us to, and really opens up people's receptivity to our ministry, our gifts, and the things that God has given us. But as long as we're walking around, you know, it's no wonder we can't get through to anybody. Love matters. And then finally today, what does fellowship produce? I said it earlier, and I'll just quote it to you. I was reading this book called God's Missionary People, and I have to read it for school, but I really liked it. And this writer, expounded on, as we close, he expounded on this idea of love and of the body of Christ caring for itself. And he says, it's only when this happens that we're able to grow into the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. I don't have time to read the verses there, but it says, as each member does its share, plays its part, you know, exercises what it is, then it causes growth to the whole body so that we all come into the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. And then he makes this statement next. He's like, you want to see a church that's saving the lost, that's moving in the power of God? It's a church that has cared for itself and as a result is healthy and is joined together and is taking the world by storm. You know, sometimes I think in church we get caught between this struggle of, should I do outreach or should I do inreach? How much outreach and how much inreach? Is it 50-50? Is it 60-40? Is it? And there's been a whole lot of different fluctuations throughout church history. But the reality is, guys, is that if we really want to outreach the way that God has for us, we're going to have to look to one another and encourage one another and build one another up so that we can be at the top of our game and together go into the world and make a difference for Jesus Christ. But as long as we're tearing at each other and we're devouring each other and we're separating because your church ain't my church and you don't believe what I believe, and you think that we're going to win the lost? Jesus says in John 13, 35, he says, by this will all men know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. You want people to recognize that Jesus is with you? Here's how to do it. Love your brother. And when you love your brother, you'll do all these things. Give honor and preference and bring healing. And there's a whole slew of, I didn't even read you half the things the Bible said about one another. Not even close. All these things come to life as we love one another. And so what does it produce? It produces a mighty army for Jesus Christ, making a difference in the world. That doesn't mean, guys, that we gather together in a group and we just have fun with one another, and we never consider how we're going to actually go out there and make a difference in the world. We need to make a plan and work a plan. But as we do that, we got to be walking in love. So the social experience, right? What's it all about? Well, hey, it's all about this thing called fellowship that God has given you. Fellowship with him, fellowship with others. We talked a little bit about who we have fellowship with, what it looks like, how it works, and what it produces. And so I hope today you got something from God that you can take into your life and be blessed.